Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back to the Wolverine Podcast. This is John Borden. I'm here with Tom Crawford. You know him very well from his excellent work with Jack Ebling on Press Pass and from his own great videos on the Crawford Podcasting Network. Tom, welcome back.
Well, it's great to be back. It's great to have the Wolverines 5-0. So life's and the weather's beautiful outside. So, I mean, how can you beat that? The trifecta.
You got it. It is football weather. It's football excitement. There's plenty of it from the Wolverines, the top five Wolverines, having passed the test that we talked about all summer long. You know, we went back and forth about everything that was involved in the Iowa game. I don't think Iowa was maybe team-wise up to standards that we anticipated because they've had some trouble with their offense, obviously. But the fact of the matter was, this was the first time the Wolverines had to go on the road. They met a probably better than expected opponent that first week in Maryland, and that win's going to hold up pretty well, I think. Go on the road and do what they need to do. Your general impressions of that Iowa win?
Well, I'm doubling down on that on your credibility in the Maryland win. You know, as a quality win, that was indeed, and that will prove that way. I'm starting to really think that. But yeah, finally going on the road, John. We talked about it. Ohio State hadn't gone on the road yet, so five straight games. But it was a quality win, kind of a workmanlike win. 13-0 leads are precarious leads. You know, 20-7 leads are precarious. You're two scores from being down. But they hung tight, and it got a little dicey, as you knew it would be. It always is at Kinnick, no matter how, you know, comfy a 20-0 lead looks at one time. You knew that I would fight back, and Michigan got conservative. I mean, they had the three straight three and outs, the latter part of the third into the fourth. And then, the JJ, you know, getting hit, and the ball goes backwards, and all of a sudden the field got flipped. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, back in it, so to speak. So, but a huge win for Michigan. You know, a quality win, and they're in great shape right now.
There's no doubt about it. Here's a couple things that I look at when you're talking about that game. What did they want to do? Get off to a good start in each half. So they, in the first quarter, as that game opened, they take the ball and they drive right down the field, 75 yards for a touchdown. Very methodical, very workmanlike. And then they get the three and out on defense. Coming out of the halftime, they get the three and out. They get the stop on Iowa, and they take it right back down for another touchdown. You can't open two halves better than that, especially when you're on the road in as tough a place as you are at Iowa.
Well stated, John. You know, the thing about it is when you're – when you're receiving the opening kickoff in a hostile environment, that's kind of a tough spot to be in because the crowd's all jacked up and it's easier to get lathered up on defense for the home team than it is the offense, actually. But Michigan just took it to them. And then the Ronnie Bell sweep and Scooney on that block and CJ on that block. I mean, it just shows you how fine-tuned that offense was on that first drive. It was very precise drive, and that crowd just went away instantly.
We came into this, or at least I came into this, and some people that I respect greatly, basically with the mindset of, okay, the only way Iowa wins this game is you help them win this game. You set them up. You give them short fields. You turn it over. You allow the defense to score points, which it did, outscoring the offense the week before. And you can tell Michigan wasn't interested in that. Michigan was determined not to be helpful at all to the Hawkeyes. And thus we talk about workmanlike. You mentioned conservative when they got up 20-0. I think you're protecting a lead there. So I get that a little bit. One of the things that that bothered me, I guess, a little in the fan or fringe media analysis was, okay, now you've got a fourth quarter where you played not to lose. I'm thinking, no, you played to win in the situation that you were in. Having that three-score lead at Iowa, protecting the ball as and not getting crazy with it, and really the only time that Iowa scored with Michigan's first-string defense on the field came when you gave them the short field.
Yeah.
You know, J.J. McCarthy gets under pressure, tries to get rid of it, but fumbles it backwards. Then you get the short punt, and then, boom, Iowa takes it in. That's the only time Iowa scored against all of Michigan's ones. And I think it just underscores what we were saying. I reject the playing not to lose business. You can say you got a little conservative, and that's probably what you wanted to do. And there were moments where, you know, it was a little bit, you know, they drove it down a couple times. Once that home crowd is given any sort of hope at all, and they were after that short field touchdown, then that place whips up into a frenzy, and I think it pumped up Iowa, and they were able to move the ball a little bit. But I don't know how you feel about the whole playing not to lose business, but I reject that level of criticism of the offense out of hand.
Yeah, playing not to lose is a little over the top, but and Kinnick, you're right. Kinnick is crowd-wise is the most resilient crowd of hanging in there when your team is down of any stadium in the Big Ten, in my opinion. Some stadiums just, you know, completely go away, you know, verbally. And they hung in there waiting for a little clasp of life, and they got it with a short field. And we knew that was the only way that Iowa was going to score. Although there were moments in, you know, when Iowa was moving the ball that, you know, Junior Colson, you know, guarding, you know, covering the tight end, you know, there's some little things you could pick at, okay, as far as
absolutely
as they could have done, but which is great, what you want to have. You don't want to have it so, oh, they're flawless, and then, you know, they kind of get full of themselves. I mean, there's plenty of teaching on the film this week, I'm sure, by Jim Harbaugh and his staff. So so that little bothered me a little bit. But I tell you what, though, you're right. Just, you know, when you play it conservatively offensively, let's just say, use your term, conservatively, you're allowing your defense to win the game. And the defense won the game with those two stops. And, you know, when you think about it, the one that deep that held him on downs, and Rod Moore had a couple of big time stops. You remember those by Rod Moore. And then the last stop, and we're going to talk about the ends in a second here. You're going to address that of some big play on Michigan's D-line came up big. So you want to put it in the hands of your defense in that situation. And the defense came through.
Yeah. The defense came through, and the offense gave a little breathing room when it needed to as well. Yes. I mean, you know, you don't want to stop scoring altogether, especially when Iowa starts to get it rolling. But you do not, I repeat, you do not want to go on the road and give Iowa short field opportunities. And they avoided that all game long except for once, and that's when Iowa cashed in. So I think – all in all, if you look at this, a really, really strong first outing.
Let me one more ingredient on fan reaction, and I go back to last year on this when Michigan hit Sainristil and they went up 30-14 against Michigan State. Okay, they got a little conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And they let Michigan State back in the game. I mean, that's an example of where it can go against you a little bit, as opposed to putting your foot on the throat kind of deal. Because everything was open. I mean, Michigan State could not cover Michigan's receivers at that stage of the game, and they showed no indication. And all of a sudden, Michigan backed off.
Okay, but I get you. And I see where you're coming from. And a lot of people are going to agree with you. And I do partially. But there was no Kenneth Walker over on Iowa's.
Yeah,
I mean, Kenneth Walker tore Michigan apart last year. And Iowa collectively had 35 yards rushing. So I do think those are a little bit different situations. But I hear you. You get a lead. You want to keep building that lead. And so, you know, you wished you were facing the Michigan State offense and defense from this year, last year. But
later on,
that's another story.
In a few weeks. Yeah, we'll wait for a few weeks on that one.
Yeah, another story for another day. You talked about the defense stepping up at the end, and it was very, very obvious when all of a sudden Mike Morris is getting pressure on every single play and gets two sacks, and Iabioki comes in and puts the big heat on as well. We have talked all year about, okay, you're just adding pieces. You're adding pieces to this pass rush. And that was a big question mark. I think we modify our thinking right along. But if you look back, one of the big things before the season started was, how do you ever replace the kind of pressure that Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo brought? They're getting it in waves. I'm telling you, they've had five or six guys come through and put heat on quarterbacks. And certainly what these two did in this game was a reminder that they still got some parts.
Yeah, and Iabioki is as a kid to transfer from Alabama via Memphis and wherever, raw talent. And it seems like he's really fit in to this team. And I loved – I mean, you were at the game. I was not at the game. I saw the post-game, I'm via TV, I'm seeing J.J. McCarthy come into this interview when you know, those two young men are being interviewed, jumping in and just going on and on and on about, you know, he being the ultimate team guy. These two guys won the game. The defense won the game. They're making the plays. And that's what you want to get out of your quarterback. And Mike Moore, and then Harbaugh jumps in. I mean, these post-game interviews are getting pretty hilarious. Harbaugh's jumping in. He's calling Mike Morris 6'7", 290. I think he's like 6'5", 260. But anyway, might as well embellish. I mean, the dude came up big. He came up huge in this game. And he has showed speed. You've seen him drag down people in every game, all five games now. Mm-hmm. Mike Morris' speed, foot speed, has been showcased. And when you get into the tougher competition coming up, that's really going to be needed, John.
Yeah, someone I respect a great deal said Michigan is becoming edge rusher U. And
that's good. I like that.
I tell you what, and there's something to that. You put Chase Winovich into the NFL, and Rashawn Gary, they moved him around, and man, wow, is he tearing it up now.
He's ripping up the league right now. My, yeah. Lord, every play.
But it's, you know, there were people that thought, does it end with Hutch and Ojabo? And all of a sudden, look at this. I mean, and I think Jim Harbaugh kind of called his own shot there, because he said, you know, sometimes these no-name defenses, you got like a year ago, nobody knew who David Ojabo was. Yeah. And you might find some guys. Well, they're finding some guys, and they're crafting some guys.
Yeah, they have. And I mean, you're seeing, you made a good point about, you know, it's just not a one or two name, you know, household name team that everybody's making the plays and everybody's getting featured on BTN and Fox and everything like that. These are multiple guys that are coming up big for Michigan on both sides of the ball. And that's a complete team. That's what Ohio State is. They're a complete team. Penn State is that way as well, where you're getting contributions both sides of the ball, multiple people on both sides of the ball. Michigan epitomized that as good as anybody.
When you are talking about complete, I think we're seeing a complete back in the Michigan backfield in one Blake Corum. There were, I mean, it's just answer this, answer that, answer this. You saw, if you watched The Journey, they did a great little piece on him and all his work ethic that he learned from his father in the landscaping business. Well, he's a blue collar worker out on the field, and he just keeps showing different parts of his game. A week ago, you know, you heard Harbaugh talking about his ability to get within the breathing room of a defender and make a great cut. And one, I think a couple of things that had people saying, well, can he be an every down back? Mm-hmm. Can he be the guy that gets short yardage for you? I'm telling you, I think it's not that he's unstoppable, but he has fantastic strength, and he can make the tough yards when he's called upon to do that. You see his stats there, 29 carries after a 30-carry week the week before, 133 yards, one touchdown, and busting that long touchdown towards the end. I'm just more and more impressed by young Mr. Corum.
You know, Blake Corum smiles a lot, and he's in front of our media press, you know, after the game a lot, last year, this year. But he was never smiling more than after that Maryland game. If you remember, he couldn't stop smiling. And it was because he got to carry the ball 30 times. I mean, he's embracing this. You know, it's like, and that, you know, that's he's got to sit in a cold tub after that, I'm sure, but it doesn't bother him. He's all purpose, you know, every down back, like you said. I know that's not chic these days. You know, you need by committee or whatever, but Michigan's going old school with Blake Corum, and Donovan Edwards is back now. So it was great to see him back. And he carried the ball five times, and you know, he got almost six yards of carry. Mm-hmm. And he's going to get back in the groove. And yes, then look at the dimension that he brings as a receiver. By the way, that broken play sprint out by JJ was as good as it gets, and that throw to Donovan Edwards for that touchdown. So
no doubt,
you're getting Donovan Edwards contributing in a different way than Blake Corum. That's a great combo between the two, but have Blake do most of the heavy lifting, and he looks like he's been heavy lifting. This is a massive dude at 5'8", 210 pounds. He looks like he's like 250.
Yeah, he is such a weight room warrior. We have seen it. We've seen it. Him tweet about it. We've seen him in those videos that Michigan shows. We saw it on The Journey when he's working overtime. We heard Jim Harbaugh last week saying that here's a kid that could play the noon game and then play the 3:30 game. I thought that was just excellent. And also, you saw once again how versatile he is, how elusive he can be for somebody that is as put together as he is. I mean, you know, he's for 5'8", he's got some pounds on him, and he's got some just thickness to him. And yet, you know, they give him a hole towards the end of that game, and he's one-on-one against an all Big Ten linebacker and somebody that was a preseason All-American, and boom, he doesn't get touched. He leaves him in the dust.
Yeah, he's got that shimmy thing going. He's got that down to a sign. When you can do that with that kind of power and then back where he's, you know, in the A and B gap going through, you know, on third and two, and he's piles getting moved, and it's not taking linemen pushing from behind. He's doing it with his leg. He's got massive legs. I mean, as big as his arms are, his legs are, it's crazy. He's got a freakish body, I swear to God. But that's what it's going to take. And when you get into Big Ten play, and, you know, especially against a tougher defensive team, there are going to be some tough front sevens. But let me tell you something. Iowa's got as tough front seven as you can get. And he didn't bat an eye. And so I was thrilled with his performance.
Great point you made as well about bringing Donovan Edwards into the picture, him getting healthy enough to play again. And there couldn't have been a better time for him to be out there. I mean, that rollout and connection for the touchdown looked like something that those two probably did after games last year. We know that they worked out together along with Andrell Anthony, and these guys are pretty tight. And it was a perfect time. They need a second back. They need a third back. You can get plenty out of Blake Corum, no doubt about it. But boy, I'll tell you what, the more depth that you can have, you know, you mentioning how specialized different backs are these days. I still go back to Fred Jackson, and he would be asked, well, you know, you subbing in at this time or this time. And he says, you know, the best thing in the world is if you don't have to, you have the guy that can do everything at such a high level. Blake Corum is becoming that. Mike Hart was that, somebody that could just stonewall somebody in pass protection. Blake Corum will stick his nose in that department as well. One thing about this game, I noticed that C.J. Stokes did not touch the football, has that. Not yeah. since that that fumble. And
right.
I guess the lesson continues. Or, you know, that's a game where you don't want to take any chances.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, that's going about, you know, no dinner for you tonight. I mean, twice. I mean, it's. But you know what? I get that. And you know, obviously, a lot of these decisions on playing time during on Saturdays revolves around what happens during the week, as far as ball preservation, taking care of the football, and if
he's
fucked up in practice, I mean, he's not gonna play. And that's a wise decision. I mean, you look at those big, you know, look at Michigan's backs have had huge games. It's with a lot of carries. Tumunka Biakabatuka, in particular, in the Ohio State game in 95. I mean, he lugged it a ton of times. He got stronger as it went on. Like Jim Brown, you know, old man alert here. Jim Brown would get, with the Cleveland Browns, would get tougher as the game went on. Blake Corum is the same way. He's hard to find.
Oh, yeah.
Behind Michigan's pretty tall linemen. So that can be an advantage too. That 5'8" thing can work to your advantage as well.
That's a little Jamie Morris, Mike Hart injected into there, because exactly, he is not only tough to find, but at a great point, as a defense starts to wear down, he does not seem to. He can still pop the big run later in the game, and that's, you know. And as for C.J. Stokes, just to get back to him at some for a minute, someday he will be like status-wise or eligibility-wise right where Blake Corum is now. He'll be that junior. And, you know, this lesson learned in his freshman year and how it's being emphasized, I think will – stick with him and really help him, because I think this guy is going to be he's going to be excellent down the road.
Well, you know, you look at Michigan's two back sets, you know, when you had a Tyrone Wheatley and a Ricky Powers, you had kind of different style, you had different combinations of backs, and that can, you know, that can throw the defense off, you know, kind of out of sync with a different style of back as far as having to tackle that guy and just, you know, and find him and catch him. And so later on that will be, maybe there can be a game where he can, you know, maybe it's Indiana. I mean, if Michigan gets ahead, you know, get him some carries in that game and get his rhythm back. And, but you're right, all of a sudden that fumble against Maryland, man, it's like, okay, son, sideline.
Yeah. And you mentioned Indiana. When we turn now the focus from last week to what's ahead, and that is the Indiana Hoosiers, who have not been very scary. They've had big fights on their hands throughout. And, you know, for a while there, the Hoosiers were giving Michigan fits in their own ball yard. Not saying it can't still happen, but this looks like, on the surface, a more manageable game. Hey, I'll get a quick other plug. The Buckeye fan just weighed in and said that Blake Corum is a beast, and I'm a Buckeye fan. So, oh, you know, that's a
ability. Yeah.
You know, he says he's worried about that last game. Well, there you go. From Frank Carone, you've got to acknowledge that Michigan has to take care of all the other games ahead right now and not look down the road. Not look down the road to Penn State a week down the road. Not look at all at Ohio State at this point, other than maybe you have that one, two plays in practice that you're working on, and that working on Ohio State every day kind of feeling. But your focus has to be on getting done what's right ahead of you, and that's Indiana. It was mentioned to Jim Harbaugh on Monday, could this be a trap game? And it was mentioned to one of the other players. I think it was Mozzie Smith. And they keep going back to nameless, faceless opponents. It doesn't matter. We don't see team. We don't see anybody else. And anything else, we just see another foe that we have to maximize our talent and make them go down. Your thoughts approaching this one?
Yeah, I go, you know, we know the history of Indiana. Jim Harbaugh, 2015, wasn't that overtime? I mean, you know, that 15 team ended up being a pretty good team for Michigan. And I think a couple of years later when they went down there, Michigan pulled one out at the end. And Bloomington's, you know, tough for Michigan, at least with Jim Harbaugh's, you know, has been coaching. And in the past, but, you know, those teams that have beaten, or not beaten, but hung with Michigan in the past, a little bit more talent offensively than this team is, just more balanced. Look at last year's Indiana team. They didn't win a Big Ten game, so it's not like they were that good last year, but that, you know, they didn't play them in Bloomington. But, I mean, it's concern for this reason, John, and I probably do too many parallels with last year. But you remember they played the first four games at home, and then they went on the road, And they got that quality win at Wisconsin. Okay, man, we got this road thing. We got this thing nailed on. What do they do the following week? They go to Lincoln, Nebraska, and have an absolute root canal game. Yeah. That, you know, everybody was pulling their hair out by the time that was a painful win. Mm-hmm. I mean, just to go through that game was painful. Okay, and Nebraska is the same caliber opponent, let's be real, than Indiana. Maybe a little bit tougher place to play, but. That's why you concern yourself, and Michigan will be focused on that. Don't give them any hint that they're going to hang around and end up on SportsCenter that night as the upset of the week.
And I think it's a big difference from Iowa, not only in that it's not their first Big Ten road game or road game period this year, but also Indiana presents a different defense than Iowa. Surely did not want to give the Iowa team with a poor offense and a stout defense opportunities because of your own mistakes. Do you open it up a little bit more against the Hoosiers because they are dead last in the Big Ten in giving up passing yards? And a matter of fact, in the next three out of the next four games Michigan plays, I think they've got three games. They've got three out of the top four teams for yielding pass yardage.
You know, what was the old saying? You know, what you want to do when you take on an opponent, you want to exploit their weaknesses. And that's a weakness for Indiana. And, you know, with Jay, you know, a big fan of J.J. McCarthy as I am, his vertical passing game, although it was a heck of a throw he threw to Andrell. His best throws, you notice to Andrew Anthony, like Michigan State last year. I mean, he's got those two got a good chemistry going on. That's going to be a long-term combination. But I'd love to see the vertical game deeper and where JJ is a little bit more precise in that. I mean, he's got the flats down there and the tight end throws, he's got those pretty much down. But the deep throws, you're going to need to stretch those defenses. This is a perfect opportunity to fine tune that scheme, that strategy of stretching that defense. The weather's supposed to be dry on Saturday. I really would like Michigan to go a little bit more vertical, like all fans do. Go vertical, go throw it deep, and see what he can do in that type of a aerial attack.
Count 22 saying JJ has a huge breakout game. I think this would be a perfect opportunity, and as you are completely on point in mentioning it would be a great time to work out the that long ball. five, six times during this game. Let it loose. John Stoops says if JJ, if they let him throw, he throws for 300 against Indiana. I think that that's on the mark. Meanwhile, AJ Cavanaugh weighed in from our listening audience and said, I've seen too many Michigan Hoosiers games to write off Indiana. I think that that is, in the last few years, to know they cannot write the Hoosiers off. I think that's true, but it is still a game where Indiana's weakness could really abound to one of Michigan's potential strengths, and that is having, JJ McCarthy fully unleashed to throw the ball around. And I think Michigan's defense is good enough in this one where it could cover some mistakes, but you'd really like to see that long ball developed in this game.
Well, and you want to jump on them, you want to jump on Indiana quick. I mean, I want to be honest, Indiana's a basketball school, right? But when Indiana sees, hey, five Power Five coaches have been fired, how about Tom Allen? Maybe we ought to get rid of that guy. If they get blown out in this game, I mean, Indiana are going to start questioning Tom Allen. I mean, you want to get the crowd in a negative mentality and hopefully get them to leave so you can take over the stadium. Michigan will have good representation down there. They always do. It's not a bad drive to Bloomington. So it's not quite like Ohio State goes down there, but this is a game you really jump on them, just like you did in Iowa. Jump on them quick and just nullify any fantasies out there that their fans have, and they have, more importantly, the players of Indiana, that they're going to hang around this game, make this a competitive game.
Somebody asked me today, do you expect the Hoosiers to pack it out on Saturday? And I said, well, I'm not sure. I haven't checked to see if they've got a basketball scrimmage. I mean,
that's true.
You've got Assembly Hall right beyond where we can see in the stadium. And they, along with maybe another Big Ten team, but that's, again, a story for another day.
Yeah,
might be waiting for the basketball season to roll around. Anyway, let's talk about concerns heading into – I mean, you get this one in – you're at the midway point of the regular season. How fast has that gone? What, Tom Crawford, as you look at this Michigan team, what are your biggest concerns finishing off the first half and knowing what's ahead in the back half?
Well, I'm telling you what, this Kolesar injury really disappoints me. Caden Kolesar got – didn't Ballas report that, or you? One of you two reported that he's out for a while. Did I hear that?
I haven't. Chris may have had something on that. I haven't seen anything definitive.
Okay.
Haven't had any confirmation.
Okay. But if he's hurt, I mean, that guy is – I'm a big special team guy. I always have been. And back to another 35, Dieter Herron back on Harbaugh and older Kolesar's team, it was – he was number 35, just like him. And another guy named Donnie Dufek, when he played special teams and obviously started. Special team guys are big with me. And this guy, if it is that Kolesar is out, that would hurt Michigan. Because I look at all phases of the game. But back on the offensive and defensive side of the ball, I love the offensive line, but I'm a little concerned about, I'm going to pick at things. We all do, about Michigan covering the tight end after what happened at Iowa. That seemed like a Michigan's secondary and linebacking core, between the two of the second and third levels. Pass coverage looked a little bit suspect at times in this game, and Iowa's not a juggernaut offensively. You're telling me in that last possession that Michigan was up that they had all their backups in? Was that true?
Because, no, man, I didn't say all, but they did not have all their ones.
Yeah. But I didn't. That bothered me. I mean, if I'm gonna, you're gonna say what bothers me, that bothers me. I don't want to, even there's a minute to go. I mean, they waltzed down the field like Grant took Richmond. So I mean, I guess I'm defensively against really good offensive teams. But there's one down, the school down, south in the last game of the year, is gonna with balance, and Penn State has that balance. Michigan's defense against balance attacks. That's Penn State, and that's Ohio State. That concerns me of how they're going to deal when they're dealing with play action and covering guys, and mainly from the air, from an aerial standpoint through the air.
Yeah, well, and I'm 100% with you on that. You watched that last series, and you think, oh man, if even with some subs in, if Iowa can do that,
yeah,
what is Ohio State going to do? And that's a legitimate concern. You need to you're a little thin, I think, at this point in the linebacking core. You got to get guys back, and you've got to get some of the guys that you have, taking that step up and getting better at that throughout the season. You know, you mentioned Kolasar. I think about the fact that Michigan could have two American All-American tight ends on the field right now. You know, Luke Schoonmaker is tearing it up, but Eric Aull, we haven't seen him for a couple of games.
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh shuts down all conversation when it comes to injuries. So, you know, you don't know what you've got there. So I think that speaks to, okay, let's talk about depth. You know, when Donovan Edwards was out, it was the Blake Corum show. You know, you need to keep those two guys healthy for absolutely sure. And you are still don't have your top two quarterbacks. So I just think those depth issues could be a